Before we start today's podcast, we'll tell you about the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go get a lunch special today. It's Brunswick Stew. It's $4.99, two sides of bread, 32-ounce drink. Pick up some ribs for dinner tonight, wet or dry. Call ahead or just stop by on your way out of town or into town for the weekend. Also, remember the Stadium Cups from the Pavilion and soon from Swayze Field. 49-cent refills on that bad boy. So keep it in your vehicle, 49 cents, to fill it up every single time. Any blue sky in Mississippi. And also coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio, 662-257-1900, Highway 25 South there in Amory. And you know you're going to get a quote within 15 minutes during business hours when you call. And you know at the end of the deal, when you mention the podcast, $500 more off, courtesy of Clark Ford. Now into the show.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. This morning, back together after a little bit of a jumbled show yesterday. Hope you've enjoyed it. A lot of good stuff from Russell, and then just talk to Jeffrey as we do every single Thursday. Also, a lot on rebelgrove.com from the basketball commentary after their win over Texas A&M on Wednesday night. I did a baseball mailbag with a lot of different kind of questions in it yesterday as well. There's recruiting on the site, so there's tons. Go check it out, rebelgrove.com. We do have a website. We'd appreciate you subscribing to said website. I'm assuming there will be a Greatest Pod podcast either up or up today since you guys recorded yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I've forgotten to do it. I will.
But it's everywhere that you find the podcast anyway, so
yeah,
you can
If you go to iTunes or whatnot, I think it's already there. Let me look.
Okay.
I haven't looked. Jay and I were just in discussion about other things yesterday. And yeah, it's up. An hour and 14 minutes.
It's a little longer than you guys normally go. Right around hour 3-4 usually, somewhere in there.
So yeah, we went all over the place.
Got a little sidetracked before you started the show.
Well, we got real sidetracked before we started the show, and then Jay is you probably have the same bug I'm beginning to pick up. Has the video bug. You're starting to get the video bug.
I'm starting to get the video bug.
Jay has had the video bug before you got the video bug.
Uh-huh.
And so we were scheduled to tape at 1:30 yesterday. And at about 1:10, he sends me a text. He goes, hey, you want to do this video thing like I did with the other day on his site, auburnsports.com. If you're an Auburn fan listening, you should subscribe. And I was like, yeah, sure. And I told him, I said, man, I don't have the lighting or any of the stuff that you have. And so... anyway, that was the deal.
Yeah, it
was revelatory of just how much work we'll have to do. I told Jay, and I'll tell you, since it affects you more than it affects Jay, I've got to figure out what I need to do in here, because really this is the only room in our house that I can use for this at this point in my life. I'm probably not too far away from having an entire upstairs that I could do whatever the hell I want with it, but I'm not there today. With what I could do with this room to make it more studio quality.
Yeah, the lighting is bad in here. I spent a couple hours the last 2 days teaching myself how to use a couple different video platforms for essentially video chats. I'm going to start those probably on Sunday. We'll do some baseball chats, probably using Twitch for that, by the way, something that typically is a gamer deal, but there's media members starting to use it. It's a really good format for this, so... if you have a Twitch account, you can follow me there. It's at Chase Parm. Or if you don't, it's free. Just sign up. It's not costing you anything except for like 2 minutes of your time. But anyway, I've looked around a little bit, and it's a little more user-friendly than Facebook or YouTube. And then you can also just immediately publish to YouTube as well for an after, obviously, archive of it. So I don't know. Yeah, I've been playing with it a little bit because Neil and I have talked about this for a while. Just standard video of players and coaches. You guys don't watch them ever. You guys do watch if it's A, us, or B, interaction. Those are the two things that have done well from a video standpoint. So just playing with it a little bit. I mean, we're not starting video podcasts tomorrow or anything. This is going to be a slow burn a little bit, if you will. But getting into it, figuring it out, kind of – I've never been one – frankly, I've been a little intimidated by it. So I've never really been one to know a ton about it. And I've tried to teach myself. YouTube has been quite the resource in – people on Twitch and people using some different broadcast systems to teach you how to do it. So it's been fairly interesting.
I'll give people some numbers. People do not, with basketball especially, they view Kermit Davis after wins.
Oh, huge win-loss difference now, just to start.
Just based off these numbers right here.
Are you just on the YouTube account?
Yeah. Which is, you know, these aren't going to be 100% accurate, but they're close. Billy Kennedy, the Texas A&M coach, who if I had been a total smartass, I would have asked him, "Are you okay? Is your pulse working right now?" Because dude was comatose doing the.
Is it one of those deals where that's how bad he is with his disorder now?
I think so.
It's just, I mean, he's had that for 7 years now. I think it's starting to really debilitate him.
I think
him.
It's gotten bad. Yeah. He did not look well Wednesday night.
And yeah, diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2011, I think.
Yeah. But he got viewed roughly five times more than Terrence Davis.
The A&M coach.
The A&M coach did. Kermit got viewed almost twice as much as Billy Kennedy. The 42nd, Ben Craddock sent us a 42nd clip of John Rhys Plumlee signing with Ole Miss, or announcing his signing with Ole Miss, whatever it was, on Wednesday. Now, that was recruiting, and I get it. It got viewed almost twice as much as Kermit Davis did later that day.
And it's a couple of different things. It's original content. It's recruiting on signing day. There's several elements to that. But, yes, it's video in just a native form without interaction is – it's being nice to call it secondary content at this point on our sites.
Yeah, I don't – I mean, we do it. It doesn't take any work, and there are people that want it. But it doesn't it just doesn't get – it's not worth a tremendous investment is the bottom line for those of you who care about this. And actually, I find that people do care about this. They find this interesting, so I share it.
Lazy video has gone the way of photo galleries.
Yeah.
10 years ago, it was, oh, we got to get these photos. We got to get these photos. We got to get these photos. Yeah. No one ever mentions a photo anymore.
Well, no, and so I've had people ask me, because there's still a handful of people that love photos, and yeah, they'll say, why don't you guys do photos? I'll tell you why. I'd be happy to tell you why. It's cost, benefit. For me to get the equipment that is necessary to do a quality photo gallery. Now, Jay and I disagree on this because Jay still does them in large part, if Jay's being totally honest, because Jay has the equipment and really enjoys taking photos. But he'll admit this to you. You don't get anything out of it. No one subscribes to his site for photos.
He also likes, especially in basketball, the access that being a photographer brings because he's on the court by the coaches.
And I'm with him on that.
It's almost more of a not a ploy, but a strategy to get where he is in the arena.
There's absolutely no doubt about it. That if you told him you had to wear earplugs, for example, he would say, I'm good, I'll go sit on press row. You, when you're down there, you do see a different game. You do hear a different game when you can get close to the benches and get a feel for what the different coaches do, as opposed to where we are. I can't hear a word. I can judge body language. I mean, I can certainly see more. I can certainly see more where I'm sitting than I could if I were watching on television.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah.
But
in the arena is better than not in the arena.
Yeah. I mean, you can watch during timeouts. You can see body language. You can watch the bench while the action's going on the other end. Like, for example, I'm pretty positive. I know if you told Kermit Davis that he could kick one person off the island, I think I know who it would be.
If it was the first season of Survivor, you know where his vote's going?
Yeah. Okay. I know who would be sent home. There's no doubt in my mind.
Big Brother, he's leaving the house.
He's gone. Yeah. He would not get a rose.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but one of the things we talked about on Greatest Pod in the South, and I'll put that up on the side. I should have done that this morning. I slipped my mind. Is we talked about covering road games in football. This doesn't really apply to baseball. Baseball, you get a level of access that, which is good. I think it's great that you get the access in baseball that you don't get in the other sports. But in football, after a road game, I used Auburn as the analogy, so I'll use it again. Let's say, Chase, that Ole Miss plays at Auburn next season and ESPN decides to put it at 8 o'clock at night.
Okay,
sure. Game's ending at 11:45.
It is.
And Ole Miss will go into that stadium with two objectives that night. One, to try to win the game. And two, to get the ever-living hell out of there as fast as possible. And there is no third objective. And so once objective one has either been reached success or failure, objective two kicks in all of its glory. And the level of access that you get is so small. And when I started this job, all the games weren't on TV. You provided access and color and things for people that didn't see
that
game.
There was a necessity that.
Now, you can see the game.
Look. I'm never one for less access or anything, but there is a part of this, and again, we're still going to cover games. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Oh, sure, sure.
We're just kind of talking. There is a level of how good the broadcasts are now where being at the game in the press box is a hindrance because I don't hear the TV broadcast unless I've got it on ESPN3 with headphones in.
Right.
So when guys are hurt and you've got Aaron Andrews or whomever down on the sidelines going, well, here's what the medical tent guy said and all this stuff. You guys are telling us on Twitter most of the time. I have no clue what's going on. I mean, I can get my binoculars when the TV's not showing it and tell you on Twitter or the message board, hey, this guy's in the tent, this guy's leaving, this guy's over here, Matt Corral's picking up a football, all this crap.
Right.
But there's a lot of times where I'm waiting on you to tell me what's going on because you're watching on TV and I'm stuck in a big box with a bunch of quiet people.
The example I gave was last season at LSU where ESPN did put the game at 8:18 at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended around midnight. And I walked out of Tiger Stadium at 1-something in the morning. I got back to my hotel at 3 or 2, went to bed at 3, got up and drove back and had work to do when I got back. And I remember thinking on that drive, so I spent several hundred dollars to get what? I got Matt Luke, several minutes of Matt Luke. I got Wesley McGriff, Phil
Longo
decided not to talk that night. We got, if I recall correctly, Jordan Tamu
and Sanogo.
And Muhammad Sanogo.
Yeah.
And so we got, if you did the math, I got Matt Luke, and then I got about 5 minutes of video of other people. Most of it was cliche. Most of it said nothing. Got to get back to work. Got to go to practice. Haven't lost our confidence. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not making fun of the kids. It just is what it is. And I remember thinking, there's in no other field would anyone say that was cost benefit.
No, no.
If you were, like, looking at my brother's jobs, if you were an insurance adjuster and you spent a weekend and however many hundreds of dollars just to basically do a meeting that you could have done over Skype, was it worth it? Of course not. If you're in computer programming, would you fly all the way out to Stanford like my brother does to fix something that could have been fixed from his home? Well, of course not. It's a waste of money. And so you do have to start thinking, people go, well, you're not in business. Well, you kind of are. You are. You aren't, but you are. And so it's a different deal. And I think the watch-along stuff is where this is going.
You are more than ever before because we have so many different ways to get content out, and you've got to figure out, A, how to optimize those, and B, which ones to use and which ones not to use. I mean, just like this thing right now, I mean, we do certain things. I mean, we do it better than most people of, hey, let's try it. If it doesn't work, throw it in the trash, move on to the next thing, whatever, don't care. And that's just where this thing is going. The next thing is going is, okay, let's find a way to get more interaction with video. That's going to start soon. And then I've told Neil there's a couple different ways that some other sites are doing things that I want to try that's going to just up the interaction. As this thing moves forward, it's about maximizing interaction as much as possible. And frankly, it's about who is telling the story as much as the story being told, if you want to be honest. I think that is, and I don't know that I'm overly comfortable with that, but I think that's where we're going. I think that is what's happening. So,
well, it's definitely what's happening if you look at national media. What works? Listen, there's a reason that I don't like it and I don't watch it, but there's a reason that Stephen A. Smith is on the screen for 2 hours a day.
Paul Feinbaum.
It's a reason that Paul, I mean, God almighty.
But hey, he's got to, somebody's watching.
Somebody's watching. They're getting numbers.
A lot of watching.
They're getting numbers that indicate that it works.
Yeah.
And he sits there and just talks into a camera for, what, 4 hours?
3 or 4 hours.
Stephen A. Smith does that because, and Skip Bayless is still employed for those reasons. It must work. Or the analytics tell them it's going to work.
I think it does work. It does, especially on ESPN and that kind of stuff. It does multiple things. A, people watch it. B, it allows people to play off of it because he says something crazy. Well, the next show suddenly debates what he said. And it's this all-day thing where now they've decided, hey, let's get edgy earlier. Because before, we've talked about this, when it was Mike and Mike, it was a big soft pillow to start your morning. And they set up the topics, but they didn't give opinions. It's just, hey, here's what ESPN's going to do today. And then everybody else would start firing. Well, Stephen A. Smith was the lightning rod. He's the shotgun that suddenly blasted out everywhere else.
That's why my show in Mobile worked. They would say, hey, have opinions. I'm like, okay, I'm good at that. Have opinions. Okay. And then I would do it. And ultimately, when my opinion was, hey, Alabama football's in trouble, that was, well, not that opinion.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold up.
Let's not get crazy now.
But, I mean, that's the deal. I mean, but you're right. He says, Stephen A. Smith says, I think the Lakers should abandon Anthony Davis and go after Kawhi Leonard, and that creates another debate on another show.
Yeah, around the horn later in the day. Here we go.
Here's Stephen A. Smith. Now let's debate what he said. It's television.
Yeah.
It's content.
Keeps you from flicking the channel, too.
Absolutely.
Just part of it. Because you've got to figure out a way to, hey, when that show's over, how are we going to lead them into the next show? And keep them there for just a minute, just to get that click.
I noticed yesterday, because yesterday was NBA trade deadline, so there was a lot of NBA talk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Brian Windhorst, who got into this field as a reporter.
He did, I know, yeah.
He went to high school with LeBron James, covered LeBron James.
Oh, that's right.
Went to Miami when LeBron James went to Miami, and is now a very, very good.
So he's basically James Bryant, is what you're telling me.
With talent.
Okay.
And a personality and intelligence. And did I mention talent?
Sorry, James.
But I've noticed he's gotten edgier. He's sitting up there yesterday.
It's not boilerplate anymore.
He's sitting up there yesterday with Rachel Nichols and Scottie Pippen. And he's edgy. Not over the top, not screaming and yelling, but giving opinions. Just enough inside information and opinion. It was entertaining. I was deciding between NBA TV and ESPN, and I ended up staying on ESPN because of Windhorst. And in the past, I have thought Windhorst was a very good reporter, but somewhat boring on television. No longer. They want edge. They want personality. They want opinion. People want opinions, and they go to the experts for those opinions. They want to hear Kevin Durant go off on his rant, and then what they want to hear is all the experts give their opinions on that rant.
For the guy who doesn't watch NBA, not to stay on NBA for any time whatsoever, he becomes more of a crybaby to me by the day.
Yes.
I get more annoyed by him not giving two craps by the day.
Yes.
To the point, if I was just picking a team, I would avoid whatever team he's on.
Yes.
It's becoming strange.
He's killing his image.
Oh,
he's killing it. It is.
There are a lot of really good marketers in the NBA from a player standpoint. Whatever's on the other end, that's Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah. There's several guys that really get it. And he's not one.
Oh, jeez.
The flip in image between Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant over the last 3 years, I follow the Thunder on a daily basis. I would not have been able to predict this. People now generally like Russell Westbrook. He has his personality. He's got his clothes. His Instagram's full of his kids.
Well, there's a fine line. He's figured out the way to go from annoying to eccentric.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still weird as hell,
yeah,
but it sort of works now, where before it was a turnoff. Now it's just kind of, I laugh at the guy and move on.
And last night, he was the first player in NBA history to go 8 straight triple-doubles.
8 in a row.
And they're winning. Now, they're not championship caliber winning, but they're winning. They're going to go to the playoffs.
It's not nothing.
They're going to be probably the 3 seed in the West, and they're good. And Russell Westbrook's turned it into an MVP and a max contract and multiple clothing deals and stuff like that. And everybody likes him. And meanwhile, Kevin Durant's over there. He's won a couple of titles. And he's sulking because no one gives him the credit for it. And it's a terrible look.
Oh. Oh, dude.
I mean, the New York Knicks, we're going to get off the NBA. We're talking about media stuff. This is interesting to me. The New York Knicks trade Kristaps Porzingis to Dallas to create 2 max salary spots. And every NBA insider, many of whom are based in New York, immediately report that the Knicks did it to create room for Kevin Durant. It stands to reason that national reporters and guys who cover the Warriors would at that point say, so Kevin, there's a report that says this, your thoughts. At which point, a savvy media person would say, look, I play for the Warriors. We're in the middle of a season. We're trying to win a championship. My focus is on cliches. My focus is on trying to help the Warriors win another championship. I just want to get into the gym each day and get better and help this team. The West is really good. We're going to have our hands full. Blah, 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 blah. We've got a long way to go. I can't think about anything after the season, because it would take my focus away from what's on this season, and my goal this season is to win a 3rd straight championship. Now, does that answer the question? Of course not. Does it keep the debate going? Sure, but it does stop people from saying he won't address the media. Instead, he goes 9 days where he refuses to talk to media, and then when he gets up there and people say, so how come you haven't talked?
Yeah.
He loses his mind, and then someone – he doesn't. No one even asked him about the Knicks. He brought the Knicks up.
Well, look at there. As we get in to tell you about Scripted Jewelry, it pops up on the bottom of my screen. Someone in Amory, Mississippi, has bought an Abigail bracelet. Hope they use the coupon code Rebels10, REVELS10 at ScriptedJewelry.com. Get you 10% off. You can be able to customize the great jewelry, the great gifts for that special someone in your life with writing a special message, fingerprints, and much more. Check out the website. That's the best thing you can do to see all the different options, see the great turnaround times, the items handcrafted to order, and how quickly they help you make it exactly what you want. So, again, that's Rebels10, REBELS10 for 10% off, and that's ScriptedJewelry.com.
Guest joined us earlier this week on the Patterson and Earhart Hotline. Patterson and Earhart, attorneys at law, specialize in personal injury law and real estate law, but theirs is a general practice that can handle any of your legal needs. When you contact Patterson and Earhart, you speak to one of the partners in the firm, and that's who will handle your case, not some paralegal at a faceless corporate firm. If Patterson and Earhart can't help you, they'll refer you to someone who can. John Calvin Patterson and Wes Earhart are Ole Miss guys. They're local guys, and when you call them, you're going to get one of them on the phone within the same day, guaranteed. So whether you've been injured in a car wreck or have other legal issues, give them a call, 662-526-1992, or check out their website, pelaws.com. Your initial consultation is free. We're also brought to you by Home 2 Suites Oxford. Just a reminder, Home 2 Suites Oxford's brand new. It's fantastic. It's conveniently located 1 mile just off the old Taylor Road exit. Follow them on all the social media. Give them a call if you are looking for a place to make your home base for the Ole Miss football season. I keep saying season tickets. It's basically season reservations are available to be made. If you'll just call them, they have a little bit of availability left for a double-decker weekend at the end of April. So if you're coming up for a double-decker, you need a place to stay, that would be a perfect spot. You'd be really close. You actually could walk it from there. It certainly would be a quick little drive. They have some availability for some of the Ole Miss baseball weekends as well. So check them out. Home 2 Suites, Oxford. We've been telling you about Pinnacle Trust for a while. You can view their annual economic forecast that was held January the 29th. I have put the link to that at the top of rebelgrove.com. You can also go to pintrust.com, P-I-N-N-trust.com. Goldman Sachs economist John Tousley spoke, as did the Pinnacle Investment Team. They talked about a bunch of topics, from geopolitical risk to tariff negotiations, Federal Reserve, and all sorts of stuff. So pintrust.com, P-I-N-N-trust.com. Podcast also brought to you by the Westin Jackson. Gather at Estelle tonight. Be a perfect. It's Friday. It's 8:29 in the morning, and I'm kind of ready for happy hour already. Sip on a creative craft cocktail. Enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships, so gather at Estelle tonight.
Podcast is brought to you by Visit Oxford. VisitOxfordMS.com/events to see all the things going on in town this weekend. The Oxford Film Festival continues through February 10th. It's 12 to 9 p.m. every day at various locations. You can see all those locations at VisitOxfordMS.com. The annual Francis McEwen Library Show today from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the Public Library. Elizabeth Weissman is with Renegade Women in Film and TV today from 12 to 1 at Off Square Books. And you've got the Oxford Food Tours, those starting February 9th. 12 to 3 for more details. Check that out. I've seen some pretty neat stuff going on with those Oxford food tours. So plenty of stuff throughout the weekend. Again, visit oxfordms.com/events for more. Jeffrey and I talked about this for just a second yesterday. You and I did not. Jay Hobson borrowed plenty of trouble with the Art Briles situation. His very tone-deaf comment on... I guess it wasn't on Twitter. It was to Brett McMurphy, I guess, but whatever. Maybe he's on Twitter. I don't know. Whatever. Since then, because I told Neil, once the ball starts rolling downhill, it definitely gets rolling, and that is what happened here. Your closet better be skeleton-free once you go down that road. And
he really needs to build a wall right now.
Build a wall?
A big wall.
I think so.
Yep.
Not just like an Orgeron Memphis wall.
No.
A bigger wall than that.
He needs to build a big wall and get inside that wall and stay there for a while.
Bomb shelter.
That would work as well.
Like those doomsdays from like the 50s or whenever it was when they wanted to build the fallout shelters.
Put some provisions in there and just hide for a little while.
Not like milk and bread provisions, like snow.
Yeah, he
canned goods, non-perishable items.
Yeah, he needs to take a time out.
So I'm reading from Nicole Arbach from The Athletic. Says, let's see. The Briles engagement's not the first time. I'm kind of skipping around. The Briles engagement's not the first time Hobson and his staff acted unilaterally in an attempt to bring someone with a problematic past to campus without informing the school's leadership. Last month, according to two people with direct knowledge of the matter, Hobson and his staff tried to add junior college transfer Charles West, who had previously been accused of raping two women at knife point at his home in separate incidents in 2015. The people were not authorized to speak about the situation publicly because of the sensitivity of the subject. The sexual assault cases against West fell apart after both women were, quote, having a hard time testifying in front of the attacker and declined to testify in a trial, Dallas District Attorney, whatever, said. The criminal cases were downgraded to aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Prosecutors and West agreed to plea deals in each case. On July 25, 2016, in both, West pleaded guilty but received deferred probation. According to two people...
He admitted that at least he did something sexual with a weapon in his hand.
Yeah, agreed to plea deals in both cases. Okay. So, I mean, you can argue the practicality of plea deals versus going to trial, but nonetheless, there was some assumed guilt.
Okay.
In the case. You know what I mean? Like, some people plea down because of chance. I'm just... playing devil's advocate, playing the whole thing out.
I understand.
I'm not one of the people. I'm just here going.
If I accuse you of raping someone at knife point.
Guesses are we're not going to plea.
If I accuse you of raping someone, I'm not trying to pin you down here, but I am trying to make a distinction, and I'm going to use you as the example, unfortunately, as someone who I know has never raped anyone at knife point.
Yeah.
If I accused you of raping someone at knife point and you did not do anything involving a weapon and you did not force yourself on a woman, it was consensual and there was no weapon in your hand, you would not plea.
No, my first meeting when I hired Steve Ferris Esquire would not be to go, hey, let's plead this bad boy down to some sort of level 3 misdemeanor.
Thank you.
All right. What I was doing was giving one sentence where if someone else down the road goes, well, but, it solved the well, but.
I just had to go there. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay, and you're all good. All right, so I'm kind of finished here. This is the point. But anyway, here's the interesting part, too. According to two people with knowledge of the matter, whatever, Hobson did not notify Southern Miss of West Past. West signed in early January and expected to enroll in classes beginning January 24th. West was on campus in January looking for housing while waiting to be admitted to the school, those people said. It wasn't until someone in the athletic department found the news article detailing the cases that West's background was brought to light. Then West's application was denied by the admissions office. You have the floor.
It's not survivable.
No. He won't be here.
He's gone. He won't coach this season.
Let's see. West played running back at Garden City Community College for two seasons.
It really begs questions of Garden City.
He wasn't All-American.
Sure.
Southern Miss was his only Division I offer.
Yeah, you think?
Fair enough.
I mean, I'm not picking on you, but yeah.
You have a plethora of options laying out there for
you. You can't offer that person. He pled some degree of guilt to raping
Hobson
women at knife
using
point.
The Bryles quote, deserves a second chance because he personally committed no crime, is my favorite part of that that whole deal.
Oh. I'm not. Art Bryles.
Hobson did not run the Bryles interview by the university officials before speaking to him.
Art Bryles is not hireable on a college campus after what he did at Baylor. If you don't believe that, you need to go take – here's what you need to do. Take 2 hours of your day. Go read about the Baylor case. Really read about the Baylor case. And then – just, I don't know what you need to do. Probably pour something really stiff and try to get it out of your head so that you can enjoy your weekend. It was abhorrent what they did at Baylor and what they tried to do at Baylor. Art Bryles knew that he had football players on his active roster who almost certainly gang raped a woman. And he did nothing but try to cover up their crime.
Yeah. That's the bare bones of it.
The entire Baylor situation has never come out, will probably never come out, in large part because a couple of people at ESPN have integrity. Human integrity. But it's a horrible story. And I don't know what in God's name Jay Hobson was thinking. But in this, with this running back right here, you can't bring someone to a college campus.
I mean, look, there's no justification. I'm not doing that. My question, though, is Hobson's tenure has been fine. Why even go out on any limb for any reason, period?
I don't know. He obviously believed. Look, Art Bryles.
It wouldn't be right, even if it's some dude on his last leg at his employer, but that would at least give me some sense of, oh, he's throwing a Hail Mary here.
Art Bryles is two things, a creep and a hell of an offensive coach.
Yeah.
And maybe this is Jay Hobson wanting to take advantage of Art Bryles' offensive skills, bring him in there with some offensive players and lay waste to the conference that they play in and turn it in. I don't know what he was thinking. But you know this, not all coaches are this way, but a lot of coaches are this way. They have no idea what's going on in the world. They are in their bubble. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they don't read the news. They're not on Twitter. They don't pay attention. They're not on Facebook. They're not on anything. They couldn't tell you sometimes what their own kids are doing. They sure don't know what's happening in the world or how people are reacting to things. But, man, you used the right word, tone deaf. That's as nice as you can be about it, but totally tone deaf. But in this case, you're trying to slip a kid through? Hey, let's slip this kid in. He can really help us. You have to at least go to your administration and say, okay, there's this kid. Here's his deal. It's going to come out. We believe he has been rehabbed. We don't believe he would ever do this again. But.
Well, you look, here's the part to both this, and this is common sense. You knew that it was scummy and had no chance of going through, or you would have told people, period.
Yeah.
When you try to cover it up and get it done under, because you try to get it to the point where the administration goes, well, God dang, you've already gone this far.
I'll give you an example where this was done kind of correctly. This could be a weird Friday for you. When Houston Nutt decided that he wanted to bring in Jeremiah Masoli, he called a handful of people. He even called me. I think he even used my name, which had to hurt. Let me tell you about what happened at Oregon. So it was kind of a, I know you guys are going to want to talk to him. That's cool. He's going to take questions about it. What we'd really love to do is have one press conference where we talk about it and then sort of make it off limits. Is that cool? Yeah, it's cool. Where you could research, and Jeremiah Masoli didn't do anything like what these people are accused of. I mean, his deal was more self-stupidity than anything else. But if you're going to do this, you've got to, from a PR standpoint, you've got to get out in front of it. You can't try to sneak it through. That's the worst. I don't think Jay survives this.
No, I mean, just no way.
If he does, it's only because there aren't enough people who care about Southern Miss.
What's so dumb about this is you're ruining your career over something that had no chance of happening.
That's fair.
You've done a good job as a head coach.
Yeah.
At Alcorn, you became one and won a little to get the Southern job,
yeah.
And then you get the Southern job, and it's going all right.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Stay for a while. What's he making there, $1 million?
Enough. And
yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's a Hail Mary that is turning into destruction.
Two Hail Marys.
Well, fair.
First and 10 at your own.
You got away with the first one because nobody knew it.
Yeah, first and 10 at your own 27.
Nobody cared about
in a game that no one's watching that doesn't matter.
I mean, you hit the point a second ago. It's Southern Miss. Everybody kind of went, ah, whatever. Nobody's paying attention.
Sure. Well, they got like 16, 17 fans? I mean, come on.
We used that joke with the Rams last week, right?
Yeah.
Southern Miss now.
Well, the Rams lost the Super Bowl. Nobody cared.
Did you see one of the – was it the LA Times that apologized for their headline after the Super Bowl?
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I think so. I hadn't seen it. I didn't look at anything, but I think I did notice that.
What was it, like local team loses game?
I think they called it a failure or something, and a bunch of fans got mad that, hey, if you're in the Super Bowl, you're not a failure.
You're not failing.
You know. As opposed to – I did love the newspaper warriors that criticized the Times pick for wasting a front page when they – complain about his other things. He goes, you realize that front page sold better than anything else they've done all year, right? Like, that actually was the one thing from a capitalism standpoint that made sense, guys.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
They didn't waste that page. They monetized that page, idiots.
There was nothing else that could have gone on that page from a word standpoint to produce that type of revenue.
It's kind of making our conversation go full circle, though. It shows you how many people in journalism don't understand money.
No, there was a lot of criticism of, hey, you had a page and you didn't put news on it. You didn't whatever, you know. It's like,
no, they turned it into a seller. People took that, framed it.
Yeah, one of their editors came back and said, we sold more than we've ever sold and we're still sending them out for posters and things.
It's capitalism. It shows you how many people in journalism do not understand capitalism.
And uncomfortable with it.
Yes.
Uncomfortable. Just,
Yeah.
No moss.
It explains why a lot of papers are going out of business. It does. And the papers that are doing well, like the New York Times is doing well. They've figured out ways to really get out in front with access on their site and things like that. I mean, you can't just, everything's not free on the New York Times website. The Washington Post website. You have to subscribe at some point to keep continue reading it.
These mean absolutely nothing, but just throwing them at you for a second. Ole Miss picked second in the SEC West by the league's coaches yesterday. LSU with 88 points, Ole Miss with 65, Arkansas with 59, Auburn at 57, A&M at 48, State at 47, and then Alabama bringing up the rear at 21. Then in the SEC East, Vanderbilt with 87, Florida with 81, Georgia with 68, Carolina at 53, Tennessee at 40, Kentucky at 30, Missouri at 26 in the East. It highlights Ole Miss's really good schedule from the standpoint of who they don't play this year. The Rebels missed the Commodores, the Bulldogs, and the Gamecocks, 1-3-4 in the SEC East as far as a preseason. Cole Zabowski, first-team All-SEC at first base. And then second team includes Tyler Keenan, Parker Kiraisi, and Chase Cockrell. So those are your Ole Miss-related nuggets from that. A lot of teams getting first-place votes. Vanderbilt, Florida, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Auburn all got at least one first-place votes by the 14 SEC head coaches. So you couldn't vote for yourself, obviously. You had to vote for somebody else. Most people think Vanderbilt and LSU have the clear two best teams, and they are incredibly talented. So I was asking my mailbag yesterday, what's Ole Miss's toughest road trip? Well, it's when you have to go on the road and play the number one team in the country who you have not beaten in Baton Rouge since 1982. That would qualify. Yeah, that was not a very difficult one. So anyway, there is that. You can see more about that at rebelgrove.com. I've got those news and notes up, and then again, the mailbag from yesterday that had some interesting stuff in it, and frankly, it was a little bit of an exercise for me to remember some stuff from last year that I had forgotten. So it's up, rebelgrove.com. Also, Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market, a leader in condo financing in Oxford, and the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Sunday, this coming Sunday, February the 10th, is the final day to sign up for Oxford Park Commission Youth Baseball. The cost is $50 per child. Leagues open for ages 5 to 15. This year's season will begin in April at FNC Park. Go to oxfordparkcommission.com to register. Or for more information, the 2019 OPC Youth Softball season is also right around the corner. The deadline to register is Sunday. Cost is $50 per child. Leagues open ages 5 to 14. Season begins on April the 8th. For more information or to register, go to oxfordparkcommission.com. This podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He has been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. Then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. The Ole Miss men's basketball team, they return to the pavilion next weekend, which should be a pretty big weekend because it's right about the time the Ole Miss baseball team is getting started as well. Ole Miss baseball season right around the corner. Season tickets start at just $150 for the aforementioned number 13 ranked Rebels.
And not many left. Last time I talked to Ross, they were down to right around 100 seats in the whole stadium left.
Wow. To purchase, and if Chase and Ross are telling the truth, and I'm going to guess they are, you should hurry. Go to OleMissTix.com. The Ole Miss men's tennis team returns to Oxford fresh off a top 25 road victory over Oklahoma State. They take on Alcorn State Saturday at noon. Come hungry as fans will receive free pizza. As always, admission is free. For more information, visit OleMissSports.com.
Podcast brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. Everything from custom playgrounds to entertain your kids. Just getting those contracts signed for 2019 for weed eating, edging, and regular mowing and maintenance. Also, plenty of flower beds. Planting trees and different things, doing that for me right now as well, and much more. MasterCuts will take care of you, so get a free quote with them, 662-607-7773, or info@gomastercuts.com. You can go to the website at mastercutslawn.com. Yeah, Ole Miss baseball starts a week from this afternoon. I think 4 o'clock is the first pitch on Friday against Wright State, and then it's two
noon games.
Good thing
it wasn't this Friday.
Be a little chilly today.
Whew.
Out at the old ball yard. And, noon on Saturday and Sunday next week. So you might get some decent weather for that one. Wouldn't be overly shocked by that. I'm going down to look, see if he said about the tickets. This was on February 1st, so it's been a week ago exactly. And they had sold, where's my number? He gave this to me, but I just have it somewhere. They'd sold 6,883 season tickets, and they had 165 left as of last Friday. Pretty sure all premium seating had been sold out, if not really, really close. The previous school record for season tickets sold was about 6,500, so they've broken that because they've added the rooftop seating or whatever they're calling that thing down the right field line and whatnot. So, record there. Always a lot of Mike Bianco conversation and angst. It's one of the reasons his job is very, 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 very safe is 6,883 season tickets.
Capitalism.
There's a little bit part of that as we have the theme of today's show, I guess, as we move forward.
I can remember a day when Ole Miss did not have 6,500 baseball season tickets.
No, I mean, that's part of what I'm writing about for Monday, doing some Swayze Field stuff, and it's been a difference. There's a lot of interesting stuff to the story of a stadium that's been here for 30 years now. What is not overly interesting but is very important is as they've expanded it, it's as simple as there's a lot of people that are paying a lot of money and we should build this thing bigger. You can break it down to one sentence as it got later on.
Sure. So. Supply and demand.
It is crazy, though, in baseball. I mean, Kentucky is building a $40 million baseball stadium. Kentucky.
Look, you can rip the SEC all you want, and I like to rip it sometimes. Mike Slive and the SEC Network was a game changer. It's a game changer. And so now when you're going to play these baseball games on the SEC Network, which is national television, your university does not want to look like some dilapidated small-time operation when those games are being played. Is that fair?
Yeah, sure.
You know, maybe you're a parent of a prospective student, and games are on TV, and you look at it, and you're like, I don't want to send my kid to blank state or the University of blank. Look at that place. It's a dump. Athletics are the front. They shouldn't be.
Front door, though.
They shouldn't be. I'll grant you that.
But they are.
But they are.
It's the front door to the whole place.
Yes. That is absolutely crazy. But it is what it is.
Well, yeah, you look around the SEC right now from a baseball standpoint because it's that next sport that, I mean, Ole Miss is in the – they're in the black. They make money as a program now. Ole Miss baseball does. It pays for itself.
It's a beautiful facility. It's a lovely place to go to a game.
And you look around the SEC, you've either got the powerhouse stadiums, the A&M, the State, the LSU, the South Carolina, the Arkansas, the Ole Miss. Maybe I'm forgetting one, but whatever.
That's a big list.
Yeah, those are the minor league, big AAA stadiums.
Yeah, South Carolina Stadium is very nice. Arkansas Stadium is very nice. LSU Stadium is very nice. Mississippi State has built a beautiful facility.
It has, yes. Yeah, and A&M, that's the other one.
And A&M, yeah.
And then you've got the new ones. You know, Alabama throws tons of money in a remodel of Sewell Thomas. It's not as nice, but they did a good job on the remodel. Florida is building a gorgeous ballpark that meets kind of its needs. I mean, they don't need as much, but it is what it is.
Build a 15,000 stadium if you're not going to put 3,000 people
in.
It's
like up with the pavilion. It goes, hey, why didn't they put 14,000 seats in it? Well, you didn't need 14,000 seats.
Because you'd never fill
it
up.
You need smaller and you need premium areas. That's what you need in new arenas. The only parks that are falling behind in the SEC, and we're talking about 14 schools, Missouri, which throws in the towel and doesn't care, frankly. From a facility standpoint, I've talked to Gabe about this, it just isn't worth it. It's not worth putting the money into. They know that's going to be a place where they just lag behind and fail. It is what it is.
Yeah.
They can have good teams, but they're never going to have the big environment.
Right.
Tennessee, stadium's terrible. I don't know if they've tried to remodel it or not. No clue, but that's a bad park. That's it. Auburn has got a really quaint, nice park that when it was built was, oh, this is really neat and huge and great. Now it's like 9th in the league, 10th.
Yeah.
Just – it's fine.
But it's still okay.
It's quaint. I like it.
Yeah.
It's a neat park. It was in that because I'm getting into eras as I'm writing this Swayze Field thing. It was in that era where, you know, they kind of did the Green Monster and they did like kind of a Camden Yards feel to it. And it was a real copycat on a much smaller level at Plainsman. And it's just outdated now is all it is to it. But there's no reason to do anything crazy. And then Vanderbilt's done as much as humanly possible given the fact that they're landlocked into a one-block area and they have what they have.
Yeah.
I mean,
they have maximized it.
There's nothing they can do.
No.
I mean, they're downtown. It's urban.
Yeah.
And they are, so.
Brad Cressy hit a ball over that wall at Auburn one time. That damn thing hadn't landed. I promise
Brad
you.
Brad Cressy. Yeah.
When that ball got over the wall, it was still very much on a jet pattern.
I still think the farthest one I saw was Kent Mathis for Alabama hit the ball up in or over that huge oak tree in left field at Swayze.
Oh, yeah.
He hit it into the parking lot up by what the band hall, the education building, whatever the crap it was back there at the point.
When you give that one up, you just tip your hat.
Yeah, Ole Miss got hammered that day. Brett Buckwich gave it up, and he just kind of looked over his shoulder, almost kind of admired it, like, well, okay, man, hey. That's
well, because he could hit him a little himself.
Yeah, and that ball went a really – yeah, it went – through or over the tree and bounced up into that parking lot behind all those terraces.
So a good 470.
He hit that ball. I watched Pedro Alvarez hit a ball just right of the batter's eye up on the heel, kind of back in those tennis courts right there.
I had quite the crush on Pedro Alvarez.
Yeah, those are two of the ones that I've seen that stick out in my head. I've seen some balls in the tennis courts and right, obviously.
Yeah.
Which takes a poll. I mean, that's
Alvarez. That Alvarez, the one he hit in Oxford. I remember seeing it. It was whew.
From a jarring because I'm falling asleep standpoint. I was in the Metrodome in 07 when they played that tournament up there, and it was freezing because I've told the story. They were doing the major tournament during the day, so it was Ole Miss. It was supposed to be Ole Miss, Citadel, Arkansas, and Minnesota, but Citadel couldn't get there because of the snow. So Ole Miss played Arkansas on Friday night, played a doubleheader against Minnesota on Saturday, and then Minnesota played a doubleheader against Arkansas on Sunday to give everybody their games. And they wouldn't turn the heat on in the Metrodome because there wasn't enough people in attendance. They had a rule where it was so many people they had to have to turn the heater on. So we're freezing. I mean, we're in jackets and everything, even though you're in a dome, and there's kids sleeping everywhere because they're running a D2, D3 NAI tournament in the middle of the night once we're done and just playing baseball 24 hours a day. And it's the seventh or eighth inning in that second game against Minnesota. Everybody's kind of asleep. And Andrew Clark, a kid that ended up transferring to Louisville from Indiana originally, big-time recruit, hit a ball into the very top deck at the Metrodome off some kid from Minnesota. And, like, he hit it, and everybody kind of, like, stood up, like, whoa, that's different. But went up over the bags, up over everything, and up into that top deck at the Metrodome, so. Yeah, Mike was so pissed that day. They lost to Minnesota the first day, and he benched the entire starting lineup for game two. Just put everybody on the bench, played all the freshmen the next day. I walked down there, and I don't remember what I asked him, but I asked kind of a stupid question, and he kind of jumped me. And then after the second game, he thanked me for coming all the way to Minnesota and apologized. It's like, Mike, I mean, I'm here. I mean, let's keep this whatever.
I'm not the reason your team sucked today.
Yeah. I did not go 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. I'm seeing this take. I've never been told this even. Maybe you have. We talk about this movie all the time. So Barrett Salee starts a thread on Twitter this morning. What's your most controversial movie take? And Aaron Suttles replies to it. And he says, I don't care how deep the third baseman was playing, Jake Taylor never could have bunted for a single on those bum knees at the end of Major League.
It's true.
That's fair. Craig Stevenson, another media member, he comes back and he goes, the Indians also bat out of order. I did not know this.
Oh.
Bottom of the seventh, Taylor in the two-hole. What is Taylor doing in the two-hole, by the way? Analytics, not what they are today back in whatever.
He would have hit ninth.
Taylor in the two-hole grounds out for the second out. Dorn singles, Serrano homers. Five-hole hitter gets out. Bottom of the eighth, Indians go 1-2-3, 6-7-8. Bottom nine, nine-hole hitter should lead off, but Hayes, the one-hole, bats with two outs and singles.
That's a good point.
I've never picked up on that. Never caught that.
It's the approach at the movie. Just entertain me. I'll give you some license. I'm good.
You're okay? Yeah. You don't care if they bat out of order? But you could have easily fixed it is what bothers me about it. Is don't you have like a sports consultant on the sets of these to just go, hey, let's not make an egregious error here?
You would think, but if you told me that the people who made that movie have never watched a baseball game, I would buy it.
I mean, just bat in order. Just put a lineup card over here and go, hey, we need to set the situation. Like, go from the back. Figure out how you want the ninth inning to play out, and I'll work backwards
right,
for you.
Right, right.
And I'll get you there.
Right.
We'll figure it out. You probably could make several $100,000 doing that crap.
Probably could. And that would be the way to do it, is how do you want it to end?
Yeah, and then I'll figure the rest out.
We'll go back and play with it. And if you need to give me some plot points in the fourth inning or the sixth inning, that's fine too. Just let me know. I'll script your game.
Ralph Russo, AP writer, says his movie take is Forrest Gump is trash. It's a different take.
Yeah, I don't. No, you have to understand what Forrest Gump is. It's a history lesson.
It is.
It's a history lesson. I mean, now was Forrest Gump ever going to end up with her? Of course not.
I think there was some license there.
Yeah, it was a lot of literary license there, but that's okay. It made you feel good, right? You walked out of there and you felt good. Forrest was going to be okay. He had little Forrest, and he had all of his money.
All of his money.
And yeah. He'd gotten to marry Jenny and I mean, spoiler alert. And it was good. I mean, you walked out of the theater a little emotional, but you were good because you knew Forrest was okay.
That ditzy girl I went to high school with that was so mad when we told her Titanic sank before she saw the movie. I'm not going to use her name just in case, but there's like five of us that gave her looks like, huh?
You didn't know?
I haven't seen the movie yet. Well, thanks. Good.
Well, you see, once upon a time, in an ocean not so far away.
She did. She was so mad. Ruined the movie.
Lincoln got shot?
Yeah. Did that Lincoln movie go all the way to that point? Where did that movie end? It was a good movie. I don't remember how it ended, though.
Which movie?
Lincoln. It was just called Lincoln.
I don't
Lincoln.
Know that I've ever seen it.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, it's good.
I've read a lot of Lincoln.
Came out a few years ago.
I don't know that I ever saw Lincoln.
Really?
Yeah. I'm quite sure that I didn't.
Yeah, just called Lincoln, 2012. Steven Spielberg movie.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. No, I never saw it. Was it good?
Daniel Day-Lewis, Sally Field, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, James Spader, Tommy Lee Jones.
Huh.
Budget of $65 million. Box office at $275.3.
Wow. I had no idea.
Really?
I mean, I remember it coming out, but I didn't go see it.
Yeah, I want to say I even watched it at the theater before I kind of stopped doing that. Let's see what Rotten Tomatoes gave it.
All right.
Because I have no idea. They could have given it 8 or 98. Very good. Critics gave it 89%. Audience gave it 80%. So pretty good all the way around.
To add that to my list of things
critics
to watch.
Critics consensus, Daniel Day-Lewis characteristically delivers in this witty, dignified portrait that immenses the audience and its world and entertains even as it informs. So a really good critical review there for Lincoln.
Lincoln's a fascinating human being.
I mean, I
truly fascinating.
I get that photography is not what it was then, whatever, but his before and after pictures are worse than any person you've ever seen from as when he took office and when he was running to right before his death.
Well, to say that he took it home every night would be an understatement.
I mean, man, just wrinkles and just everything.
Keeping the country together and the decisions that he had to make and then the people that he had to manage. His plate was full. He took it home. And then he lost a child and he was married to a woman that really did not recover from losing a child. There's a lot going on in his life. Not much of it was particularly happy.
Yeah. I don't know that I have a lot of other movie takes. I mean, I have to think about it. I mean, I'm sure I do, but I'd have to sit and contemplate.
Yeah, I'd have to really think about it.
There's not one that's just been bothering me for years that pops up. Got a lot of questions, Vanilla Sky, but otherwise we
never saw that one.
Never saw that one.
Nope.
I've seen most of the Tom Cruise canon, so I mean, Oscar nominee. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Cocktail was robbed. Just telling you.
Cocktail was not bad.
Cocktail was awful, but that's fine. I'm just whatever. It's all good.
But you could be entertained with
it. It's the last 20 minutes that are so bad because it tries to become this drama and it bogs down at the end instead of just be the summer popcorn flick and find a way to entertain me to the end and move on.
Fix some drinks and run off with the girl.
It's kind of like, you know, speaking of Cruise, and it was highly well regarded mainly because of the book, but the movie too, The Firm. Did you watch the movie?
Yes.
Incredibly too long. Yes. And in a book, it works because you get so many more chances at nuance. They made a 3-hour movie about some bad paperwork. That's it. You know, because they bring in the mafia and the mob and all this, but spoiler alert, it wasn't like they were decapitating people. We're just kind of cheating on some taxes and running some paperwork around here. I mean, it falls flat from a theatrical standpoint compared to in the book, you could sort of set some scenes and...
Yeah.
And do some different things. The Firm, the movie, has lots of plot problems.
Yes.
When you take a very slow-moving book and try to turn that into a film with an action star, if you will, from the time.
Grisham's early books were not made for film.
Mm-mm.
Like The Pelican Brief.
Yeah.
That movie was rough.
Now, A Time to Kill turned into a really good film.
It did.
Mainly because it had really good actors carrying that bad boy.
Might also have been his best book.
It's his first book, right?
It was his first book.
Yeah.
It was before, and I don't mean this as a criticism of Grisham.
I know where you're going.
Because it's sort of like Nickelback or Maroon 5. You figure out an equation. The equation works. You just continue to plug new numbers into the equation. Grisham got a formula of how to write a book. And he wrote books that made tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of money, kept his publishers happy, who probably gave him, hey, here's a deadline for the next book. And so he just kind of plugged. You could tell A Time to Kill was his, that was his baby.
Yeah, no, there are 5 or 6 Grisham books that really stick out to me. And past that, I feel like I know the ending 5 pages in. It's the rom-com that stars the 2 main actor and actress where, they're getting together at the end of this movie.
And I'm not criticizing that. That's like when people said, well, I can't believe they put Maroon 5 in the Super Bowl. I'm like, really? Why not? How much money Maroon 5 makes? Are they great? No, of course not. Are they artistically great? Of course not. Does every teenager and college kid in the country know who they are? Yeah, sure. So, been telling you about Dead Soxy for a while. Dead Soxy is pleased to announce a way for you, the Rebel Grove community, to be a part of the process and the creation of new sock concepts. There's still limited quantities of the Mississippi sock line available. And in an effort to launch a new line, they are increasing their discount to 30% off all items as this original Mississippi line comes to a conclusion. Don't miss your chance to feel the difference a quality sock makes. Additionally, there's going to be some new concept pictures forthcoming. They really want your honest feedback and input as to what resonates with you. So if you've ordered a pair or a couple pairs, now's the time to round that out with the 30% off. If you haven't tried it, it's be a great opportunity to give it a shot. DeadSoxy.com. Enter the code RebelGrove at checkout for 30% off all items at checkout. Podcast also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. Give John a call. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners. Allows John to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. You call him. You give him a budget, give him some parameters. He'll give you options that you'd never find on your own, and you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. And we're brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. They have a commercial checking account now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. Comes with fully interactive online banking. You no longer have to go to the bank every day to deposit checks and whatnot. Instead, you can do it right from your office. More than likely, any business owner at another bank is now paying a monthly fee for their account. And they're most assuredly not making 1% on their money. You can do all of that at OUB. To learn more, check out Live Oxford, bankoxford.com, or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Podcast also brought to you by G&M Pharmacy right there on South Lamar in Oxford. They offer MedSync to make it easy on you. They also deliver to your home or workplace. And I'm going to tell you about the compound creams. There's a couple different pharmacists in North Mississippi that are going out of business that were doing compound creams. But G&M and Tyson Drugs can help you out with that. Nausea and vomiting, erectile dysfunction, and much more. Skin issues, including eczema and other skin conditions, including acne. So give them a call at 662-236-2222. See all the different ways that they can help you with that. Also, just move your medications over. They care about you. They're quick. I told you I did not call ahead or anything. Went straight in, handed it to them. I was out in 23 minutes the last time I did that. Happened to look at my watch. Also, if you're already a G&M customer, vote them in the Best of Oxford competition. You can do that at oxfordeagle.com/bestofoxford. Again, 662-236-2222. Let's see. Basketball tomorrow against the reeling Georgia Bulldogs.
Got to win.
It's really that simple at this point.
Doesn't have to be pretty. Just got to win.
How'd Shuler look on that foot the other night? We talked about it after the game before that. How was he on Wednesday?
Had some moments where he didn't look good, but they say it's getting better. He does look more explosive to me. They've managed it from a practice standpoint pretty well, I think. I think they've been smart.
Does conditioning stay okay?
It's okay. It's probably not as good as he wants it to be, but you can't have your cake and eat it too as it pertains to that, you know. You can't get the running in that you need to be conditioned and protect the foot at the same time. You gotta balance it out. And they've done an okay job. He's fine. He's a young, athletic kid in really good shape. He's not dying out there. He's probably not in as good of shape as he'd like to be in.
I had looked up classic movies and errors from a continuity standpoint.
Okay.
I don't know that I knew this one. Now, I have not sat and watched this movie all the way through since I was probably a kid. In The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy's hair changes lengths noticeably throughout the film. I guess they did reshoots and different things. And her pigtails go from above shoulders to way below shoulders.
Oh.
Depending on the scene of the movie. It says other notable errors include Dorothy losing her ruby slippers for black shoes during one shot. Now, you'd think we could figure that one out and not let that one happen. That's a problem.
The hair might have been difficult to control.
Yeah, because they didn't have some of the ways then that we can manage those things now. Characters switching positions with no regards to prior placement, and a chandelier candles that magically relight themselves during scenes. But that could be part of the whole
wizard
mystical nature of the deal. My last Top Gun note for you is Tom Cruise note for you. In Top Gun, after he and Kelly McGillis have their scene or whatever where they
their
get
tryst.
Intimate. Yeah, they come back and he's like showered and he sees her in the elevator and she's wearing a cap. And that was because it was a reshoot and she'd already started the next movie and her hair was a different color and a different length. So they had to put a cap and stuff on her to do the reshoot because she couldn't show her.
Right?
Yeah, there you look at it.
How about that?
Trivia for the
day. That's a pretty hot scene in Top Gun.
It was Berlin, right?
Yeah.
The sound serenading them right there.
Yeah.
It's kind of in your days.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's all.
Absolutely.
I mean, everybody plays volleyball shirtless with blue jeans on. I mean, even with blue deltas, I don't know that I'd go out there with the beach volleyball.
I can't remember the last time that I didn't play volleyball with blue jeans and not wearing a shirt. Just can't remember.
Okay. And Ray-Bans, of course.
Of course.
Got to have the Ray-Bans.
Yes.
And then you immediately go from that to putting the bomber jacket on.
Yeah, of course.
Even though you're in Miramar.
And it's hotter than hell.
What you would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to have the bomber jacket, though.
Got to look cool. Got to look the part.
You're going to get a chance to wear those corduroys as it gets 25, 30, 35 degrees here in the next.
Oh, yeah. The low tonight's in the mid-20s.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was yesterday, for those who do not live in Mississippi or live in some climate other than us that are listening, because we have them everywhere. It was 75 to 25 yesterday.
Yes.
It dropped 50 degrees, as Houston would say.
About 4 o'clock, Carson goes, hey, I'm going to get out in the neighborhood. And I said, and he's wearing shorts and a T-shirt, because that's what he'd worn to school when it was in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, you might want to put a sweatshirt on. Oh. He's like, Dad, it's hot outside. I'm like, it is, But there's this front blowing through, big fella, and in just a little while, you're going to wish you had that sweatshirt on.
We've been kind of closed up in the house all week after Carly Ann's tonsil sinus thing, and yesterday, just to get out, because she still can't have really solid food for the most part, or at least anything crunchy, took her to Sonic to get a milkshake and whatever, just to sort of basically put her in the car for a minute. And we got back, and she wanted to swing outside, and after about 2 minutes, I was chilly. Like, I was freezing. I said, hey, if we're doing this, I got to get coat, and I got to get pants, so we got to bundle up, because I'm a lot like Carson. I left the house in shorts and a t-shirt.
Well, it dropped 30 degrees in 2 hours.
Real bad.
And then that front blew through, and it was really cold on the back side of the front.
90 seconds here as we close. This alternative football league, any shot of working to any extent?
It's difficult for me to imagine. I've seen some people who know more about it than I do say it has a real good shot. I got
a partnership with the NFL.
Yeah, that helps.
Not even trying to compete with anything.
No.
Testing some rules.
Yeah.
Geographically tried to put some players you might care about.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. I don't know who goes to the games.
That's my thing.
I think on TV, it's football. I'll turn it on for a minute, whatever.
Yeah.
To an extent.
Yeah.
But you watch, look, this even goes for college football is entertaining, but lower level football, bad teams, you watch because of emotional connections or just liking football to an extent that it's in the background.
Yeah.
To get really into it, you got to figure out a way to bond people with these teams, and I don't. That is a hard thing to do. I don't know.
I would say it's almost impossible.
Yeah, it's hard.
I mean, what's the name of the team in Memphis?
The Express, I believe.
How do you create an Express fan? It's kind of difficult.
It's already a football fan because they like the Titans and the Tigers or the Rebels or whomever.
Right.
The Arizona Hotshots. Well, they're Cardinals fans.
Are there going to be people who watch it because it's football?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But I just don't know who you get to go to your...
And I do think, as blasphemous as this is, I think when it gets down to it, when it's not high-level football, there's a football burnout for the spring, too. We do need that reset.
Yeah, of
course. Football 365 is just a lot of football.
Yeah, people... Yeah. It's a season for football, right?
Yeah, of course.
When August and September roll around, you're like, yeah, football.
Here we go.
And by the time the week after the Super Bowl, I mean, how much really this weekend are you really going to be like, God, I miss football? Okay. I'm kind of okay. I'm okay.
Yeah. Then the summer will get here. I'm like, all right, let's go.
You get your hunger back.
Yeah. All right.
After you've had two steak dinners at 10 o'clock that night, you really don't want another steak dinner.
No.
And it's not, if you love steak dinner, go 2 months without a steak dinner and you're ready for one.
Yeah.
It's that deal. I just think there's a cycle. And the spring belongs to basketball and baseball, and the summer belongs to baseball, and then football arrives, and you're ready for it. I just still think that's kind of how we're conditioned.
Yeah. Check RebelGrove.com. Plenty of coverage, including things going on this weekend and into next week as everything gets going here soon. Not far away from spring football beginning as well, much to Mr. McGrady's delight.
Oh, you love it too.
Oh, boy.
How many spring football practices did you cover last year?
One.
Yeah.
One. I'm not 100%. Yeah. Did they have a game? I'm not sure I covered the game.
You didn't cover the game. You had baseball.
Yeah. I hate that.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's don't pin that one
that
on me, big boy.
That schedule's really tight. I think I got to get over to sweat. I just can't quite pull that off.
Don't pin that on me.
Yeah. All right. Check RebelGrove.com. Talk to you on Monday.